26, the number 26 is good news. Everybody say good news. That's why we're here tonight. And I mentioned that 23 is death and 3 is resurrection. Now, Jesus was crucified on the 14th day. And it said it was the ninth hour in Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 46th verse, that he cried with a loud voice and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So if you add 14 and 9 together, you come up with the number 23. It was the ninth hour in the 46th verse. It was the 14th day. 14 and 9 comes to 23. And here in the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter of Acts, it says that there were 276 people on a ship with the Apostle Paul. And if you divide 12 into 276, you come up with the number 23. They were all doomed to death. There was a great storm. Paul said that all hope was gone. He said there wasn't any sun. There were no stars many days. He said they were in a storm. No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's what I'm here to tell you. When all hope is gone. Somebody didn't hear me. I said when all hope is gone, that's when God sends an angel. When all hope is gone, it said all hope was gone that we should be saved. Read it for us, Kevin, in Acts the 27th chapter. And start with that 20th verse. Let's hear what it has to say.
And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me.
What did he say?
He said, you should have hearkened unto
me. You should listen to the word of God. How many know you should listen to the word of God? If Cain would have listened to the word of God, I'm not talking about listening to a man. I'm not prophesying of myself. I prophesy out of God's word. God's word is prophetic. And if Cain would have listened to the word of God, he would have been blessed like his brother. God told them directly, the word of God spoke to Cain, and Cain, if you do what is right, I will bless you like your brother is blessed. But he wouldn't listen to God. He offered up to God an offering that was cursed. He offered up to God the fruit of the ground, and how many know the ground was cursed? Man was going to earn their living with the sweat of their brow because the ground was cursed. He gave God a cursed offering. He gave God the leftovers. But Abel gave the best of his flock. And God said to him, there is a right way to worship me. And if you'll offer up the sacrifice like your brother, you will be blessed also. But he didn't listen to God's word. And the same thing that Paul is saying here, if you would have hearkened to what the Lord had to say, you wouldn't be in this problem that you're in now. So read on. What does it say, Kevin?
It says, you should not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. 22nd verse. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Do what?
Be of good cheer.
I'm here to tell you to cheer up tonight. I'm not talking about jumping and yelling. I'm talking about courage. Faith is nothing more than courage. Say it. Faith is nothing more than courage. When you wake up in the morning, it takes courage to face life. It takes courage to get out there and face Goliath. Everybody's looking for the faith message. But when he said, be of good cheer, he was telling them, be of good courage. That's what pleases God, when you have the courage to face life. It's not quoting the scripture. A lot of people say they believe. But it's another thing, you believe a plane can fly, but it's another thing when you strap yourself in and it takes off, then you're acting in faith. Everybody believes a plane can fly, but there are people that are afraid to fly. Because once that takes off the ground, that takes faith for sitting up. That takes a little courage, doesn't it? Aren't you always happy when the plane lands?
Yes.
Every time. Amen. Everybody's amen. Laughing. You're happy when that plane hits the ground. I'm talking about on the wheels. I'm not talking about crashing. You're happy when it hits the ground. Amen. So everybody believes. People say, oh, well, I believe. Well, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles at his word. That's what the Bible says the devil believes. The devil believes and trembles at his word. That doesn't mean that he has salvation. Amen. He found out he couldn't come against God. Oh, he's a believer. But in heaven, he wanted to be above God. He didn't listen to God's word. So he believes. The devil, say the devil is a believer. Those are a lot of people that are believers. But it's another thing to put your belief into action. Because faith without works is what? Is dead. Amen. So we're not talking to dead folks here tonight. We're talking to people that have been resurrected. Because the gospel resurrects you. The gospel gives you the good news. Everybody say, good news.
Good news.
That's why we're here tonight, because you need good news. So what else does it say?
I exhort you to be of good cheer.
He does what?
I exhort you.
Exhort you. That's what we're here, is exhorting people. Amen. Encouraging you in the Lord. That's what exhortation is. Some people, unless they go to church and get beat to death, they don't feel like they've been in church. Exhorting people. Building you up. When you exhort somebody, you are building that person up. We're here to build you up. You go to a hospital to get better, don't you? Well, that's why you should come to church. Why do you think Elijah in 1 Kings 17, why do you think he went to the widow woman's house? Elijah didn't need the miracle. The woman needed the miracle. I'll tell you again, Elijah didn't need a miracle. The woman needed a miracle. That's why she was chosen. Because in Luke, the 4th chapter, the Lord said there was a lot of widow women in Israel. There were a lot of lepers in Naaman's day, in Elijah's day. A lot of lepers in that day. Why were they chosen? Why was that woman chosen? Because she needed a miracle. Remember, God fed Elijah in the morning and in the evening with flesh and with bread in a time of famine. So somebody had to be cooking the bread. It had to be an angel. You see, when all hope is gone, that's when God takes over. I'm going to take it. I said, when all hope is gone. You see, this is why people can't receive a miracle. They try too hard. You don't work it up. If you have money in the bank, you go there and try to work it up. If you have money in the bank, you go there and you draw it out, don't you? I said, do you go there and draw it out? You have your ATM cards. What do? You go there and you draw the money out. You push some buttons and the money comes out of the machine. Amen? Am I right or wrong? You don't stand in front of the machine and say, well, I wonder if this is going to work. You know it's going to work. Amen? That's the same thing with God. People trying so hard, they're struggling, trying to receive a blessing from the Lord. If you'll just act upon his word and what God says in his word, he says, I will bring it to pass. How many know God will bring it to pass? Amen. When you got pregnant, ladies, did you worry about if you were going to have a baby or not? Well, some of you might have said, oops. But anyway, you got the baby, didn't you? You didn't have to worry about it. I said, it came, didn't it? It happened. And it's the same thing with the word of God. Once that seed is planted, it brings forth life. There is no struggle. I said the battle was won on Calvary, and it was the number 23, the 14th day, Passover. It said the ninth hour, 14 and 9 is 23, which represents death. But 3 days later, say 3 days later.
3 days later.
Say 3 days later.
3 days.
He came up out of that grave. The grave couldn't hold him. Three is resurrection power. So you add death, the number 23, and you add 3 to it, it's the number 26. You come up with the number of good news. And that's what we have here for you is good news. Everybody say, good news.
Good news.
This is the 26th, isn't it?
Yes.
April showers do what? Bring what kind of flowers?
Flowers.
You heard the woman's testimony here yesterday? Mountain Moving Service. In 1991, she came here needing a miracle. She had all kind of papers in her purse, mortgage and foreclosures on her house. She was sitting right here on my left. I said, lady, you need a miracle. And I said, it's in your pocketbook and God's going to give it to you. And she pulled out a whole bunch of papers. She said, yeah, I do need a miracle. Well, we prayed and believed God. She went to the bank and drew out the last $700 she had to pay the lawyer, because she figured, this is it. Well, I came to church, I didn't get my miracle, but at least I was prayed for. Well, P.S., while she was in the bank drawing out the money, when she got home, she looked in her bank book, she drew money out, and they deposited over $28,000 in her bank book. You say, can angels deposit money? Angels can do anything. Talk about angels. They're not up in heaven playing a harp. Amen. God don't need angels up there entertaining him. They're not up there playing harps and floating around on clouds. Angels are there ministering. That's what angels are doing. So if angels can cook, I mean, not only did they bring, the ravens bring bread and flesh to Elijah, but when Elisha wanted to die, an angel came and woke Elijah up, and the angel had cooked for him. So if angels can cook, then they know how to deposit money. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I mean, if Peter can go fishing and find tax money in a fish's mouth, how many know the Lord says to Peter, that's even more difficult than an angel. I mean, what is a fish doing with money in his mouth? Yeah, you know, we'll rip that page out of the Bible if you don't, we can't accept it. But he had to pay taxes. So Peter went fishing and he caught the fish. The Lord said he just sent it through a hook, and I don't know if he baited the hook. But he threw a hook in the water. You know, you got to put bait on the hook. It just says he put the hook in the water. And the fish that came up had money in his mouth. So this is what I get across to you. If God can put money in a fish's mouth, then an angel can put money in your bank account. I get excited about this. I said, I get excited about it. The disciples asked Jesus the question, why do you speak in parables? Because, he said, the mystery of the kingdom of God is not given to everyone to know. There are some people God just don't like. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. So don't feel bad if there are some people you don't like. Oh, well, hey, am I going to get to heaven? We're supposed to have love. Well, God is love, but love is not God. I'll tell you, God is love, but love is not God. Because if God was a cream puff up in heaven, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. God is also a man of war, and he's a God of power. Amen. I said, think about it a little bit. He's no cream puff sitting on the throne up in heaven. You know, you think that, oh, when you have love, you can let the birds fly over your hairpiece and just do what they want in it. I mean, even Abraham had to beat the fowls of the air away. Amen. He was offering up a sacrifice to God, and in offering up a sacrifice to God, it said he had to beat the fowls of the air away. You got to beat the fowls of the air away. There are people that will come around trying to take your joy and take your blessings, and you got to beat the devil away. That's why it says cast out demons. Amen. Amen. In my name, it says you shall cast. You don't tell the devil pretty please. If you may, if you will. The Lord said, cast out. And when you cast something out, I don't have to tell you what it is. Like some of you, you have flying saucers in your home at times.
Dead. Not anymore?
You got it. I said, you got it, didn't you? Yeah, you've had some flying saucers in your home. So I'm just throwing it out to you. So what does it say there, Kevin?
I exhort you to be of good cheer.
I'm exhorting you tonight to be of good courage. Say, be of good courage.
Of good courage.
That's why we're here, to get built up. People go to the gym, and you can go 20 years later in the same condition as they were 20 years before. That's the way some people are in church. That's truth. It's because they don't know how to work out. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to work out. It's not just going to a gym. You got to know the proper way to exercise to build up your body. It's just not pushing a weight. You got to know the proper exercises. And so you can go there 20 years later and the same people are there that were there 20 years before don't look any better than they were when you first saw them. And it's like a lot of people that go to church. They come to church, and because some guy has a microphone and a Bible, they think, oh, this is the word of God. No, it's not true. Paul said the letter will kill you. Exercise can kill you. I said, if you don't do it properly. Mm-hmm. Exercise will kill you. The letter killeth, but it is the spirit that does what? Gives life. Takes the anointing of God. Like when I called that bird upon the platform. Here on a Tuesday morning, a starling is down here, and the Lord speaks to me, says, call the bird up on the platform. I didn't argue with God. I said to the bird, come. He jumped up on the first step. Bird was looking at me. I said, come. Jumps up on the second step. Now the bird's looking at me for the next order. I said, come up on the platform. Bird jumps up here and starts walking all around. Boy, I said, this is great. Next day, I'm at home. Bird lands on the lawn. I said, man, I can call birds. I said to the bird, come, and the bird flew away. You see, it only works when the anointing of God is there.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the anointing is for. I said, it works when the anointing of God, and that's why you come here to be built up so you can understand and receive the anointing of God. And when all hope is gone and you need a miracle, I said, the anointing will come like Samson when he needed an anointing, like David when he needed an anointing to go out and fight against Goliath. He didn't go in his strength. He went out there in the name of the Lord. And when you go in the name of the Lord, the Spirit of God comes upon you. Amen. I said it happens. All hope was gone, Kevin?
Yes, it was.
Huh?
All hope that we should be saved was taken away.
Taken away. Go ahead.
I exhort you to be of good cheer.
I exhort you. Here we go with exhort again. I'm building you up tonight. Getting your muscles to function. Can you say amen? You're in a battle. When the children of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, I think they had 6 battles with 6 different kings. But when the first year that that Joshua went into the promised land, the first year he had 31 battles in 1 year. When you start walking in the realm of faith, get ready for a battle. Some people think, oh, well, this is wonderful. Wandering around. You're not going to have any battles wandering around. You're already defeated. They only had six battles in 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now Joshua takes over. The walls of Jericho come down. And in the first year, everybody say the first year, they had 31 battles. And now they had the faith walk. They got out of the wilderness. When you get into the faith walk, get ready for a battle. Are you here tonight? You should write that down. So when you turn to the book of Joshua, you should put 31 battles right on the page so that hits you right in the eyeballs when you open up there. I have to remind myself. We're going around saying, oh my, this is we're Christians, we shouldn't have any problems. But in 40 years, six battles for the wandering. When Joshua came the first year, 31 battles, 31 different kings. You can check it later in Joshua, the 12th chapter and the 24th verse. It talks about 31 kings. Those are the battles that he had. So don't think that you're not saved because you're having battles. That's why you're having battles, because you are saved. If you're not having any battles, you're just wandering in the wilderness. Are you there? But after the wilderness experience that Jesus had, it said he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Amen? I'm telling you that the School of the Prophet services are bringing you out of the wilderness. Can you say amen? And you're going to now go in the power of the Spirit. So we're exhorting tonight, Kevin?
I exhort you again to be of good cheer.
Do what?
I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Be of good courage. Everybody say courage. So say that's all faith is. Faith is ABC. How many know the ABCs? Action, belief, and confidence. Say action, belief, and confidence. That's what faith is. ABC. As easy as ABC. Action. Amen. Belief and confidence. If you don't have confidence in the word of God, you're not going to receive anything. But Mary had confidence, and she said, I don't understand it. But she said, be it unto me to the angel of the Lord according to thy word. And because she said, be it unto me, the Spirit of God came upon her, and she conceived, and Jesus Christ was born. So continue, Kevin.
For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God.
There stood by him an angel. When all hope is gone. Say, when all hope is gone. 276 people on the ship. Divide 12 of the 276, you come up with the number 23, which means death. Death was upon them. They were in a storm. But an angel appeared. What did the angel say?
There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul.
Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say, fear not.
Fear not.
Say, the price of gas is going up.
Fear
say,
not.
Fear not.
Fear not.
I know the man that can turn water into wine. I know the man that can make the meal barrel never empty, nor the cruse of oil fail. I know the man that can feed a multitude with the loaves and the fish. I said, are you there? Amen. When all hope is gone, I said, that's when the Lord takes over. I know the man that can make bologna taste like steak. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I know the man that can make it taste like honey in the rock. The word of God is like honey in the rock. Oh, taste and see. You see, you're never going to know until you try it. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Taste and see that what? The Lord is what?
Good.
He's good. You're never going to know it until you taste it. Amen. There's some food you've looked at and you say, well, I don't like it. But when you taste it, it's good, isn't it? Can you say amen? So what happened next?
Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.
God has done what?
All those that were sailing with Paul.
We're sailing tonight, folks. You see, we're on a trip here. This earth is just a trip. We're sailing through. This world is not our home. This is just the place where we're sailing through. Amen. That's why Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm taking another trip. He said, I've been sailing around here, but now, he said, I'm going to take another trip. I'm going to be with the Lord. Isn't that what it means when you say, what is the time of departure of the ship or of the plane? What is departure time? Because you're taking a trip. Some people don't know it. This is just a trip. And soon we're going to have our inheritance. That's the good news. Everybody say good news. So all that sail.
Yeah, in the Living Bible it said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. And what's more, God has granted your request and will save the lives of all those sailing with you.
God is going to save the lives of all that sail. You keep on sailing on these School of the Prophets nights, God's going to spare you because God ordained it. And if you don't believe God ordained it, look around. This is 6 years later, or say ordained of God. When God ordains something, you will see the evidence of it. So tonight we see in the evidence. So what happened next, Kevin?
So take courage.
What?
Take courage.
What?
Take courage.
Take courage. There it is. That's faith. Take courage. Say courage is faith.
Courage is faith.
Faith is courage. What do you think faith is? That's what pleases God. So continue.
For I believe God, and it will be just as he said.
You want to know the best way to get out of trouble? You want to know in serving God the best way to get out of trouble? I'm going to show you. Kevin, turn to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to show you how to get out of trouble. People are looking, how do we get out of trouble? How do we get things to turn around? Do we fast and do we pray? And you know what? What do we do? Do we worry about the situation? And we start quoting scripture? And what do we do to get out of trouble? Everyone, you know, as they say, well, got to get out of trouble, and we turn to man to try to find the answer. But I like to turn to God. And when you turn to God, 1 Chronicles 21st chapter, 18th verse, what does it say, Kevin?
I don't know. 21:18. And as David came to Ornan.
This 21:18? 18th verse?
1 Chronicles 21:18, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Then the angel of the Lord commanded.
Uh-oh. There's an angel again. Get ready. I said, get ready. The angel of the Lord did what, Kevin?
He commanded Gad to say to David.
Gad was a prophet of God. And the angel told Gad, the prophet of God, to go to David. Continue.
That David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
Now, why is this angel telling David? He was in trouble. He was in trouble. An angel comes and says, set up an altar. I'm going to tell you how to get out of trouble, David. Continue reading.
And David went up at the saying of God, Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back, and he saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. And now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked, and he saw David, went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord, Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.
Do you see what it says? That the plague may be stayed. People don't want to hear this. You know, they'd rather come and jump up and down and flop on the floor and someone lay hands on them and say, yay, I say. You know, I'm sorry, folks. I don't despise prophecy, but I've been in this all my life. My dad was a preacher. I was raised in church. So I think I have a few years on you. I have some experience in this. And what I'm telling you is God's word. I'm going to tell you how to get out of trouble tonight. I'm going to tell you how to get out of trouble. And God gives you the way to get out, and people know they're going to do it their way, like Cain. Now we're going to do it our way. We're going to give the fruit of the ground. There's a curse on us. We've been cursed. But Jesus Christ came to lift that curse. I said he was made a curse for us. So here's the best way to get out of trouble. I don't want to offer the fruit of the ground. I don't want to offer myself. I want to put a value on what I'm doing. And that's what the angel said. You're in trouble. And David said what, Kevin? Read that again, that verse.
22nd verse. He said, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.
That the plague may be stayed. Many of us have a plague. Plague of sickness. Hello? One fellow brought a bed in here years ago in an Acts 19 service. Brought the sideboards in, the headboard, the footboard. I said, what's this? He says, that's my bed of affliction. He said, that was my bed of affliction. He brought the headboard, the sideboards, the footboard, threw it all here on the floor. He said, I want you to burn it before the Lord. He said, I've been laying in the bed of affliction. He says, but God has set me free. I don't want the bed of affliction anymore. God has healed me. I'm no longer sick. Amen. That beds of affliction, plagues, spiritually, physically, and financially. And people are, well, we'll go to church. Church is not the answer, folks, because we are the church. I'll tell you, we are the church. This is just the building. And God don't dwell in buildings made with man's hands. God dwells within you. You are the temple of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. I said, are you here? Want to get out of trouble? Say, I want to get out of trouble. All right. So he said, I want to offer up a sacrifice that the plague may be stayed, Kevin?
Yes. That the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering, I give it all.
You notice what it said. It said, I'm going to give you the offering for burnt, the oxen for burnt offering. It didn't say sin offering. Some people thinking coming and repenting all the time and all that, that you're in the family. Amen. David was in the family. He didn't have to give a sin offering again. Hello? It said, give an offering of praise. How many know a burnt offering is an offering of praise? Give an offering of praise. Not an offering of repentance, but an offering of praise unto God. People are repenting. You go to some of these seem like God churches. Everybody say, seem like God. Seem like God. Unless they have you repenting before you leave and down on your knees at the altar, you ain't been to church. Every time you come to church, they have you repenting. That seem like God churches. All right? They put you through the ritual, and the Lord said, by your rituals and your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. The best way to get out of your problems is like David did when the angel, I'd rather take what an angel says than what man has to say. David, you got a problem. And the problem is there's a plague because you numbered the people. And by numbering the people, it meant that you have control over them. There's only one person has control over you, and that's God. Amen? Only God wants control over you, not man. man controls people's lives. The church goes around controlling them. They call themselves the church when we are the church. So he told them to do what? What did David want to do? Burnt offering, Kevin?
They'll give burnt offering.
Threshing instruments for what? Go ahead.
And King David, in the 24th verse, said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost."
Don't offer burnt offerings without cost. You want to get out of trouble? You can give your way out. Say, give your way out. Very simple. It's in God's word. Cain could have got out of trouble if he would have given like God told him. But he didn't want to give. And because of that, killed his brother. And that's the same thing we're facing today. People don't want to hear this part. They'll do everything else. But when you put a value on what God has, they won't accept that. But if an angel told them to do it, like an angel told Paul, "I've given all that sail with you. All that sail with you." He said, "You don't have to worry. None will be lost. No soul will be lost." And this is what I want to get across to you tonight. I don't care what is going on in the world today. If you do it the way God says, none of you will be in want. Like David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me say it with you. The Lord.
Lord
is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he said he's not going to offer something without him costing him.
That's right.
Because Onan wanted to give him the property.
He's going to give him everything.
So what had happened in the 25th verse?
David gave Onan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof.
And the Lord commanded the angel, the plague was lifted. Say, the plague was lifted.
Plague was lifted.
Very simple.